Now, will you notice he moves on here because he's really talking very plain. He says, verse 4, in that day shall one take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we are utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. In other words, great confusion was coming, and there was lamentation and doleful lamentation. By the way, this expression here, they lament with a doleful lamentation, is a very unusual thing in the Hebrew, and I doubt whether they can get it into the English to say exactly what Micah was saying. But it reveals how tragic it was that was happening, and people were very pessimistic. There seemed to be no hope at all, and they were saying we're utterly despoiled, and they were, because already Assyria had been making forays down in that land. And fact of the matter is, when they finally came, they marched to the gates of Jerusalem. And there are those that say, well, Jerusalem was in sin at this time. Why didn't God let them go into captivity? Well, I've never quite understood the ways of God. Why, in the 12th chapter of Acts, was James, when Herod arrested him, he put him to death, he arrested Simon Peter at the same time, and he got loose. Why did God permit that? Well, I read in Hebrews, some were slain with the sword, and others escaped the edge of the sword. Now, both of them did it by faith, and God permits these things to happen like this for his own purpose, and he is accomplishing his purpose, you may be sure of that. The thing is this, they were turning away from God, and as they were turning away from God, they were utterly spoiled, the northern kingdom. But a revival came to the southern kingdom under Hezekiah, and it took place shortly after Micah had written this. And that explained the reason that God gave them a few more days of grace. Now let's move on down here, and I'm reading in verse 5 now of chapter 2 of Micah. Therefore thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. In other words, there'll be no worship anymore of God there. Prophesy not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord shortened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? And this is something very interesting. This was a time when God cut off the flow of the spirit of prophecy. Why? The people wouldn't hear it. And there became a famine of the word of God. But the important thing to note in these two verses is this. The Lord here responds by stating that he too is plotting evil. And what they call evil, because it's going to be judgment against him, and God's word will be received by his people who obey him, and it will be rejected when they do not obey. And though it's harsh words, God's people will obey it. God's people will accept it. And God's people right now, as we're dealing with this passage of Scripture, I'm sure that you're saying this is not delightful. This is not the 23rd Psalm we're looking at, or the 14th of John. But it just happens to be in the Word of God, and as far as God is concerned, he gives it just as much prominence. In fact, he didn't put this in the 23rd Psalm, and he didn't put this in the 14th chapter. He put it in the 1st and 2nd chapters of Micah, so you'd get it in a hurry. And God's people will accept it. Of course they'll accept it. It's because God says it. And they'll respond to it. And God, through it all, will comfort them. God will lead them, and God will bless them.